Are we headed toward a recession in the U.S.? The inflation we've seen this year, the Federal Reserve's response to raising interest rates multiple times, feels like we've been asking that recession question for quite a while now. But some economic indicators are less recession-y. For example, today's job market report from the Labor Department, U.S. employers added 263,000 jobs in November. The unemployment rate stayed at 3.7%. We're going to talk about the economy. You can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the state of the U.S. economy? Are you feeling the pinch of inflation? Have you been looking for a job, finding one successfully, looking for employees? How's that going? How about housing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions, your experiences, or email ideas at WPR.org. Yemin Ahmed is a professor of economics at UW-Whitewater. He focuses on monetary economics, macroeconomics, and machine learning. Yemin, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, just like I think the last time we talked to you, Yemin, lots of different data out there, some of it pointing in different directions. Let's start with this job report out today. Looks pretty good in terms of the number of jobs added, 263,000. Unemployment rate holds steady. What do you think of this jobs news out today?
It's obviously good news. I mean, we obviously, unemployment and employment numbers are typically things that we look at when we're trying to think about, is the economy headed towards a recession? And certainly from at least the payroll employment numbers that came out today, that, you know, the things are looking good on that front, at least, which is some piece of good news. We typically tend to think of a healthy economy, just like a rough rule of thumb that I tell my students, sort of, you know, if you have about 200,000 jobs being created a month, that's a pretty good, you know, pretty good economy. So we're above that for sure. So at least on the employment numbers, you know, there's lots of jobs being created, and that's helping to keep unemployment fairly low. So.
But hold on, the job numbers come out, the stock market goes down some, ends up evening out today, and people are looking at a downside here because of inflation. Why are good-looking job numbers worrisome on the inflation front?
Well, typically in the past, we've always kind of thought of there being this sort of inverse relationship between, you know, inflation and unemployment. Historically, that's been sort of like a fairly robust feature that if the economy is doing well, you know, there's lots of jobs, unemployment is low, but of course, prices are going up. And in a bad economy, typically what we've seen is unemployment obviously going up, but prices or inflation sort of coming down. So there tends to be this sort of inverse type of relationship that at least in the past has existed. There's some debate about that right now still, but you know, if we take that as a sort of a given, then that's potentially one way we might think, hey, you know, good jobs, is that a sign of the economy overheating? Or still overheating, I should say, in that regard. So would that contribute towards further inflation maybe in the future? And that's sort of maybe some of the signs that we're seeing that might have impacted the stock market.
Okay, and then here we have the Federal Reserve. They've been bumping up interest rates in an effort to dial down demand and inflation. I want to give a listen to the Fed Chair Jerome Powell saying, we're going to keep increasing rates, but hey, I think we're going to increase them more slowly than we have been. Here's a listen.
Thus, it makes sense to moderate the pace of our rate increases as we approach the level of restraint that will be sufficient to bring inflation down. The time for moderating the pace of rate increases may come as soon as the December meeting. Given our progress in tightening policy, the timing of that moderation is far less significant than the questions of how much further we will need to raise rates to control inflation, and the length of time it will be necessary to hold policy at a restrictive level. It is likely that restoring price stability will require holding policy at a restrictive level for some time.
All right, decipher for that for us, Yemin. What is he hinting at there, the oracle of the Federal Reserve?
So one of the things with inflation is that it's tricky. So, for example, I mean, in my own work and others, other people who've like, you know, looking at the dynamics of inflation and how inflation changes over time. One of the things that we've tend to find is that, you know, when there's a shock to inflation, something pushes inflation up high, it typically can take quite a long time for inflation to come down. And so the Federal Reserve is obviously trying to, as you said, damp down on demand and tighten demand through trying to make it basically more costly to borrow. And the idea is that that will filter through to the demand side and restrain demand in some way, hopefully not help mitigate the effects of inflation and try and bring inflation down. The problem with that is that the way monetary policy works is that it takes actually a pretty long time from interest rate changes, when the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, for it to actually have its full effect on the economy. People tend to think, they raise interest rates, we should start to see inflation come down straight away. It actually takes a while because, prices, not everybody change, not all businesses change their prices at the same time. There's some price stickiness and so on. And so Powell is getting at there is that the Fed has already raised interest rates already quite a number of times this year, and by quite a large amount. They kind of want to see what the impact of that is in terms of how much effect it's going to have on inflation, with the understanding that it's going to take some time for it to have its full effect on inflation. So rather than keep increasing at the same rate, there's a downside risk that if the Fed raises interest rates too quickly and by quite a lot, then it could push the economy into the recession that they're hoping to avoid. So the Fed is kind of walking this tightrope where they're trying to tamper down on inflation without pushing the economy into a recession. But at the same time, any interest rate change that they make is going to take a long time before we see the full effects. In my own work and others, again, we've kind of found that even from a single interest rate hike, it could take, a year and a half, 2 years or more to feel the full effect of that interest rate change. And the Fed has already raised interest rates a number of times. So to see the cumulative effect of that on inflation, we're going to see that not just straight away. It won't just sharply bring inflation down, but it will start to bring inflation down a little bit at a time, but the full effect may not be felt for quite a while ahead. So they're kind of slowing down, they're hedging against that a little bit and trying to say, okay, let's see how much of effect our current existing rate hikes have had. And we still think that they're going to, they still think they'll need to raise interest rates. And so they're going to moderate the rate increases still. So I would expect, for example, in the next December meeting, in a couple of weeks, that they will still continue to raise interest rates, but not by quite as much.
We're talking to Yamin Ahmad, economics professor at UW-Whitewater. Looking at the state of the economy, the various economic indicators in the news this week, strong jobs numbers for November, inflation numbers maybe cooling off a bit, and looking at what the Federal Reserve is doing with interest rates, trying to make sense of sometimes mutually contradictory signs. You can join in if you'd like quickly at 800-642-1234 in the last few minutes of our conversation with your questions, your own experience with the economy, 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're checking out the national economy. Strong November jobs report from the Labor Department. Inflation still there, maybe easing off a little bit. Macroeconomist and Professor Yamin Ahmad is with us from UW-Whitewater. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Brian is with us in Madison. Brian, hi.
Well, hi. Say, I was wondering, has there been any study on the effect that the tariffs that were instituted under the Trump administration, how they may have affected the supply chain? And then I believe a lot of them are still in place and therefore affecting inflation.
Brian, thanks for the call. Interesting question, Yamin. Tariffs and the supply chain and our current state of inflation.
I'm not sure. There are some studies that have been looking at the effects of tariffs. I don't know specifically. Nothing specifically comes to mind about one that focuses on that specific issue. But generally, we would tend to think that by imposing tariffs, part of the reason why we might impose tariffs is to sort of like equalize the leveling, the field between domestic industries and foreign industries in terms of what it does. But essentially, I think what Brian was getting at there was that, it could raise import prices, and the price of imports would then feed into sort of like general prices that we would be paying over here. I think a large part of it is the share of the goods and services that are coming from overseas and how much it affects domestic, domestic spending and domestic prices in that regards, because of course the consumer price index is sort of an amalgamation of both what we're producing at home as well as what we're producing, goods that we're purchasing from overseas. And in general, the share of import prices essentially, at least in the US, it's a relatively small share. So if they are having an effect, it's you know, you have to kind of weight that, that the increases there by how much of an impact that it has. But certainly, you know, we can tend to think of overall spending. I mean, part of what's driven the inflation that we've seen today have been supply chain issues. And obviously what's happening overseas and in terms of the war in Ukraine and so on, affecting the supply side of the economy, but also on the demand side as well. And so it's sort of like the combination of the two that's sort of keeping inflation high. And, you know, part of what the Federal Reserve is trying to do is trying to, you know, make sure that, you know, we kind of bring inflation down in a safe way while at the same time not push the economy into the recession.
So, thanks for that call, Brian. We have time for one more caller. Jake is with us in Appleton. Jake, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, what did you want to ask about, Jake?
Here is, My question here is, are we seeing any trends or behavior from past economic inflation, or past economic crisis? I'm 29, and I'm trying to gauge when and how to buy property and vehicles or other large purchases. And I barely remember 2008 because I was a teenager, and I have nothing to kind of go off of. It sounds to me like there's unique characteristics with every kind of, you know, cycle of this type of inflation and lending. Thank
interesting,
you.
Jake. Interesting question. Yamin, how much can we look to a past precedent to see if we're headed toward a recession versus how weird is our post dark days of COVID economy?
Yeah, it seems like every recession or, you know, event is sort of like unique in its own way. There are certainly things that we can look at the past to see how the economy responded based on the policies that we implemented. And, you know, we can sort of make predictions from those things. But certainly the current, you know, starting from the pandemic to where we are today and the last few years, this has been actually unique. I mean, previous recessions and, you know, inflationary periods that we've seen have come from essentially either the demand side of the economy or the supply side. So there's some trigger that basically pushes the economy into recession or creates inflation. And this one has been kind of unique because it's been both simultaneously both the supply side and the demand side of the economy. So it's challenging times in that way. But I think we have a sense of what's worked in the past, what kind of policies have worked in the past, and to some extent how effective they can be. And that's kind of what the policymakers at least are relying on to try and get some sense of how much to raise interest rates, how much to taper off, and actually impact. So from the other side of that, the non-policy side of that, I mean, obviously it as you said, you know, it's mm-hmm. It seems like we have something every 10 years. We thought the 2009 recession was the once in a lifetime kind of thing. We just got hit with COVID, and that seems like another once in a lifetime. I'm sure there'll be another once in a lifetime things in, you know, event in the next 20 years.
But, thanks.
Yeah. But we're learning each time. So.
Thanks a lot for that call. Good luck making those decisions. If nothing else, you are not alone in your confusion. And Yamin, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yamin Ahmed is professor of economics at UW-Whitewater. He joined us to help make sense of today's November jobs report and news earlier this week that the Federal Reserve could be slowing the rise in interest rates as soon as later this month.